Heavenly Father, we come before you today humbly in need of your grace and forgiveness of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, thank you so much for reaching out to us, for fulfilling the prophecies and setting the things in motion that would bring your Son to this earth and with him salvation. Lord, help us to experience this Advent season your presence and the knowledge of our forgiveness and the gift of salvation in a new and powerful way. Lord, let this sermon today be, as always, a prayer that it might be your words and not mine, and that all of our hearts and ears may be open to what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke have many visitations. They have the visitation of the angel Gabriel on a number of occasions. They have the heavenly host in the field. They have the shepherds and the magi and Anna and Simeon in the temple. But the Gospel of Mark begins with the only visitation that we receive in his gospel, and that is of John the Baptist, called from the wilderness to call the people to repentance. He's sent, as Isaiah the prophet says, to prepare the way. And his lifestyle and diet tell us a lot about his message. There's an immediacy and a haste about John. You can sense with him that what he's telling us we need to do quickly. You know, everything he is, does, and says sends the message that you need not bother with things like fancy clothes, fancy foods, fancy homes, and even fancy sermons. He simply wants you to confess, to repent, to be baptized if you haven't, because the time is now. And the Messiah is coming. I am an English language arts teacher. And so with my kids at school, every couple weeks we do something called a writer's workshop. I just made it up. I don't know if it's a real thing or not. But I call it that because we work together. We partner together to write and get better at writing. And then they write on their own and try to put it into practice. And so I always start with talking about one of the traits of writing. And then after that, we write a paragraph together to show that trait come to life and to show how to do it. So we write a collective paragraph. And then they're supposed to go forth. And they have four days that they're supposed to write their paragraph and then submit it to me, get it into me. And, you know, homework isn't something really my kids are wired to do. And they have a lot of resource time, you know, at school that's built in. They're not really wired to use that unless someone's on them to use it for that. So, lo and behold, come Friday morning when they're due, they still have that same sentence I gave them to start their paragraph. And that's it. And so all we have time left to do at that point is to get straight to the action. I always tell them, because they're writing a creative story and they can do whatever they want with it, forget the fluff, let's cut straight to the action and get going with what you want to have happen in your paragraph. And I think that's really where John catches us this morning. We are, and I am, like my students. Time has run out, and he wants us to cut to the chase. He wants us to cut straight to the action. Forget the fluff, cut straight to the action, and be about the business of the kingdom quickly. In verse 3 of our gospel today, it says, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." This is Isaiah the prophet speaking. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." You know, as we as I showed or tried to show in the children's sermon, the quickest way from one point to the other is a straight line. And that seems to be what John wants us to hear. He wants us to make a straight line to the Lord. In other words, get as quick as we can, drop everything else, get as quick as we can to the Messiah. You know, in usually in Advent and Christmas, you'll hear a sermon, you might still hear a sermon from me about it, about slowing down, right? Because there's the hustle and bustle and the push to get everything done and everything prepared before Christmas Eve, the buying of the gifts and the cleaning of the house and the setting of the tables and all the, you know, things that go with getting ready for Christmas. And you often hear sermons about slowing down and reflecting upon the true meaning in Christ. But that doesn't seem to be John's message to us for different reasons, for the right reasons. He's telling us to make haste, to be in a hurry, to be about God's work and what he calls us to repent from. Came across a story by Tom Long, and he said many years ago in India, there was a group of men who were in the military, and one of them found another man from the other side, seriously wounded, and they carried him to a Christian mission hospital some distance away, and they knocked on the door and said, "Will you take him?" And he was an Afghan, and the man who answered the door looked at him and could tell that he was an Afghan and a member of the warring tribe, the opposite tribe. And he says, "Bring him in. For him, we have a bed." When the physicians examined him, they found that whatever had happened to him stole his eyesight, that his eyes were damaged to the point where he was blind. And he was very fearful, and he had a lot of anger within him. And he told the doctors, he says, "All I want, I don't care if I'm blind the rest of my life, all I want is to be well enough to be able to see, to take revenge on those who have done this to me." And the doctor told him, "But this is a Christian hospital, and that Jesus came to forgive and even to love our enemies." And the man listened, but he was unmoved by this story. And the doctor eventually had to go, and he said, "I'll come back later and tell you another story." And when he returned later that evening, he began his story, and he said that a long time ago, the British government had sent an envoy of soldiers. And they had sent them to their new post, and along the way, they were captured and taken to a shabby prison and thrown in. And there were two of them. And the only thing that they had between them was a couple pins and this Book of Common Prayer that one of the guy's sisters had given him years before, or before they left for this deployment. And so every day they used the Book of Common Prayer in prison to read, to pray, as their source of devotion and a big source of hope for them in this time. And then also they used it as a diary. And in the empty spaces of the Book of Common Prayer, they sketched and they wrote their daily happenings, things you would write in a diary. And these two prisoners were never heard from again. And then one day, a man went into a secondhand bookshop about 20 years later, and he found the exact Book of Common Prayer that these men had used. And in it was the name of the sister who gave this man their Book of Common Prayer. And he decided that he was going to send it back to the sister. And so they located the sister and got it to him, and she began with heartache to read these pages, especially the diary pages, of the Book of Common Prayer that they had written on. And she realized that when it came to the very end, it wasn't her brother's writing anymore, it was somebody else's. And it just reported that they had to dig their own graves and that they were executed and they died. And that's why no one ever saw them again. And she resolved that day to take revenge, Christian revenge. And so what she did, she's amassed enough money to buy one bed to put in this hospital. And she said, whenever there's an Afghan soldier, because it was Afghans who did this to her brother, whenever there's an Afghan soldier who's wounded, that bed is for them. And remember the doctors telling this to this man that also wants revenge. And so he concludes, my friend, you are now lying in that bed. Your care is her revenge. And I thought, you know, it's a really powerful story about taking the straight path, making straight the way to the Lord. Because, you know, you could fill in the blank. This is about revenge, right? But there's a number of things in which we do this, right? And that get us off path in our quest to seeking God. It's an endless what we could put in that blank. It was revenge for this soldier. But this story helped this soldier draw a straight line to where he was supposed to go, to forgive, to let it go as he is being cared for now. And I think that in a nutshell is what John is trying to say to the people that come out to the Jordan to hear him 2,000 years ago, and to us, and to all the church that reads and hears this gospel preached again today, to make straight the path to the Lord as quick as you can. Let go of all those things that get us off track and be about the quest to make haste to the Lord. In verse 1, you know, besides John's message, John's a harsh character, right? He eats locust. He eats some honey. He has one change of clothes, it seems. I'm sure he didn't have multiple camel's hair hanging in the wilderness, right? He wore that one. He had a belt, right? Again, he's cut away all the excess so that he can, you know, be about this goal and this quest. Besides all his harshness and his message to us to be in haste and to repent, which is never fun, there's hope and peace that is also communicated in his harsh message. This is verse 1 of our gospel today. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it goes on to talk about Isaiah's prophecy and John the Baptist. So John is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. He prepares the way. And in so doing, God is really setting things in motion to start happening. So when we see John appear, it's an example of hope, because that means that God is making things happen to bring about salvation for us. And, you know, I like the idea, the metaphor of a wheel turning. The wheels begin turning when John comes motoring towards salvation. Or if you like the picture of an hourglass, the sands begin to slip through the neck and the time is ticking and God is bringing about salvation for his people. And so despite John's harshness, there's hope in his appearance and in his coming. And we can see that reflected in the gospel, because all of these people rush out there to hear him. And we'll hear probably next week in some other messages, he doesn't have a very kind thing to say to them. And they still come out. They still come out because they have hope that God is reaching out to them and speaking to them again. God works in his own time frame. We all know that. And it's his time frame. And it doesn't make much sense to us. Isaiah prophesied of John coming out in the wilderness and making straight the paths for the Messiah 300 years before John actually did that. And then, shockingly, we didn't wait another 300 years. Immediately, the Messiah was there. So we went 300 years, John, and then immediately the Messiah. And then it's been 2,000 years while we're waiting for him to return again. And so we're not going to be able to put a thumb on the time frame of what God is doing. But the beautiful thing is that there's hope that these prophecies are coming true, and that the works that's in the works, the wheels are turning, and the sand is slipping through the neck of the hourglass. Besides hope, I think another thing that's communicated today, and I just remembered our candles, because the second one is peace. And so let's do that right now. I think there's a lot of peace that we get when we hear the message that we need to make a straight line to the Messiah, to let all these other things go. There's so much to worry about in life. And John comes to simplify that for us and says, there's one thing of importance, and that is God. And make your path towards him. And there's a lot of peace that comes in that simplicity of letting go of all the things that we worry about that really ultimately don't matter a whole lot. And so we light this candle today for John the Baptist, who calls us to make a straight path to God, to simplify and to let go. John isn't dressed fancy for the Christmas party. He has his one suit of camel's hair. His diet is simple. There's not a really beautiful charcuterie board laid out before him. It's simplified, and it's Spartan, and it's what the Lord most wants, that we will come to him as quickly as possible. God has a time frame. We'll never know what exactly it is and when it's going to happen. There's hope in the fact that he is at work to make these things, salvation, real for us. And then John the Baptist reminds us today that there's also a time frame for us. And the big message is that time is now. Make haste to the Messiah. Amen.